We're going to go ahead and start our post-race press conference. We've now been joined by our NASCAR O'Reilly Auto Parts winner, Justin Allgaier. Congratulations, Justin, on that win. Talk a little bit about that final restart and kind of what was going through your mind. Obviously, your teammate today, Kyle Larson, looked pretty dominant early on, but kind of what was your approach there on that final restart?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the inverse of last week in Vegas. I felt like, you know, we weren't quite as good as I wanted to be. You know, this team, though, they just never quit. And, you know, the pit stop at the end there to get the track position and, you know, racing with somebody that I respect a lot, you know, Brandon Jones, to be able to get the lead there and get clean air, I mean, it's just so important. And, you know, really proud of this team, proud of the effort. When you show up and you're not quite as good as you want to be, but your car's really good, it's hard to make a bunch of changes. And, you know, throughout the race, Andrew made great calls to get our car where we needed it to be at. And you know, ultimately at the end there, you know, you don't really know when you only have 15 or so to go, you know, how hard you're able to push the pace. But, you know, again, just hats off to everybody at Junior Motorsports. This is four in a row, I guess, now, and just really proud of not only the effort, because this team is done an incredible job, but just the resiliency of this team, even when things don't go quite the way you want them to. I mean, you know, pit stops tonight were spot on. Our team has worked tirelessly on that. You know, they have gone to work, and it showed. You know, just all of our partners, everybody that's a part of this, it makes days like today even more fun. And when you walk out of Darlington as the winner, there's nothing quite like it. It's such a cool place, such an iconic place, and really proud that we could get another one here.
All right, we'll go ahead and go to questions. To kick us off, we're going to start with John Newby in the middle there in the Navy. Thank you.
John Newby, FanBuzz. I am curious, now that you've tied Joey with 30 wins, you're one win behind Jack Ingram, and then, you know, obviously eight behind Carl Edwards. Do you have, I guess, a goal for what you want to hit before you hang up your driving shoes for good?
30 is 30 more than I ever expected to get in my entire career. You know, when I look back at this sport and just as a kid growing up watching NASCAR, right? Never in my wildest dreams did I ever expect to be standing here. You know, even after you win 10, 15, you go, man, there's a good chance they're never going to come again, right? You don't even know what that looks like. And I feel like we've lost a lot. But then I sit back and I think about it. I'm like, Kyle Busch has 102, right? Is that what he's got? I mean, that's just mind-blowing to me. I can't even fathom that. But, you know, the things like tonight, my wife and kids being here, my family, my mom and dad being here, you know, Andrew, his wife and kids being here, this is the first time they'd ever been to Victory Lane, right? Those are moments that for me that, yeah, the winning's cool, the burnouts are great, all the stuff that comes along with it's great, but honestly, if you don't have anybody to celebrate it with, they're not worth winning. And right now, I there's so many folks that are here that are a major part of why I do this, and so, you know, I don't know what that number is. 30 could be it, right? And I'll be perfectly happy with that whenever I quit my racing career. But we got a job to do, and my job is to show up next week in Martinsville and go try to win another one and keep doing it after that. So it's not for lack of effort. I feel like I'm working harder as a almost 40-year-old than I've ever worked in my entire life. I told somebody the other day, I said, if I'd had work ethic that I have now when I was 20, I feel like I'd have been a lot better race car driver. But you know, proud of our group that they keep pushing me, and the competitors too. I mean, when I look at the people that I'm racing against every week, pretty confident that the 19 and the 88 are going to lap me tomorrow. So, you know, to be able to get one on both of those guys today was special.
All right. We'll go ahead and go. Yep, go ahead. Eddie, right?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Eddie Kalegi, Motorsports Today. Justin, congrats on the win.
Thank you.
I'm curious for your perspective because, I mean, dating back to when you first started out was when there was all the Bushwhackers with Kyle and Carl and Brad in the field every week. And with the new rules, there's more of that this year with the changes. Obviously, it's great for you, as you said, to be able to beat Larson and Bell today. But for the younger drivers in the series coming up like you did when you had to race against Kyle and Brad and Carl 15 years ago, how crucial do you think that element of the development process is for those drivers?
I think it's twofold. Look, you know, everybody wants to be the best, right? You want to, whether it be here in the O'Reilly Auto Parts Series or on the Cup Series or in the Truck Series or wherever it's at, you always want to do the best job you can. Look, now that I've had a week and a half of double duty, I understand why guys don't don't do it as much anymore. I mean, we were talking today just about the preparation, you know, during the week. I mean, you're doing two pre-meetings, two post-meetings, two simulator sessions, two sets of just learning, right? Watching replays back, studying SMT, doing all the things that, you know, it takes. And those guys, they're great on Sunday for a reason. They're just fantastic race car drivers. I mean, they truly are. I mean, if it wasn't for having some track position tonight, Kyle and Christopher, I mean, really Kyle. Kyle drives off into the sunset and nobody even has a shot for him. So, you know, I think there's still, you know, I think it is unique in our sport. You know, I it was different when I first started running. But I also think that there's way more competitive teams today than there's ever been, you know, and guys are getting opportunities to show what their value is at a lot younger age. And so, you know, I think it's just for me, it's just different. I still enjoy it. I still enjoy when those guys come race with us because I do think it sets a great benchmark. But I don't know that anything prepares you for the Cup Series, even if they're in the field every week. I don't think anything prepares you for the Cup Series on a weekly basis.
All right, we're going to continue with questions. We're going to go to Matt Weaver and then to Trent. Go ahead, Matt.
One, I'm mad at Newbie for stealing my question. but I'll take it a different direction. Matt Weaver, motorsport.com. You mentioned the different level of whether it's fitness or just the work ethic. Was there a moment in your career where maybe you had like an epiphany that maybe you left something on the table? Was there one crew chief or owner or friend or someone that kind of told you, hey man, there's another gear to unlock in you if you just applied?
I don't know that it happened at once, if I'm being honest with you. You know, I look back at kind of the reinvigoration of my career, you know, after the cup stint there and going to junior motorsports, knowing that I have a great opportunity and it wasn't going well, right? Like we fired off that first year and we struggled, and it wasn't for lack of speed. I mean, we had speed, but I just wasn't where I needed to be. And, you know, Jason Burdette was hard on me to make myself better, right? They had come off of winning races, and, you know, that car was competitive every week. And so, you know, that kind of pushed me to grab another gear and be better. Then I look at, you know, adding Jim Pullman to the 7 car last year, or 3 years ago, I guess now, however long ago it was, 23, I guess. Jim took it a step further and pushed me to not only push myself to a level that I think is higher, but this whole organization, right? He pushed Junior Motorsports to be better in every way. Follow that up now, having Andrew, you know, we spent the entire offseason. Andrew has gone above and beyond to bridge the communication gap, to bridge the relationship. You know, he's been the guy that, you know, random text messages, hey, there's nobody better than us this weekend, we're going to go wear him out in Darlington, right? He's been put in a tough spot, especially the last few weeks of going over there and splitting time and, you know, not always having the ability to be able to help him like I need to. And he's never quit. He just digs deeper. And so it's people all along the way. And again, you drive for a team like Junior Motorsports, you want to be better. You strive to be better. You push yourself to be better. And it's working. Right, we're winning races again. We're doing all the things we should be doing. But if, what is it? Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. I think today you have to be talented and work your tail off to even be relevant in this sport. And there's plenty that put in the work that just don't have the things line up for them that they need to. Right, but there's so much talent in this sport right now. It's unbelievable. So, like I said earlier, to even be in the position to win is huge. To come out of here with a win makes you feel that much even better.
I know your sample size in the next gen car at Darlington is
pretty
practically
small.
Non-existent.
Yeah.
But you hear everyone say that, you know, the difference in racecraft and driving and approach from Saturday to Sunday is just completely different. And I'm curious, with the package change this weekend and you driving both, do you get the impression that the type of racing, the product that we see on Saturday, is now much closer to what it's going to be tomorrow?
I don't think so. I mean, I do think that the cars are going to be out of grip and you're going to be sliding around a lot more than we would have been in the past. But the next-gen car is its own animal, right? It is so different. You know, the steering and the way that the rack and pinion works and the tires, you know, the short sidewalls. I mean, you everything I think I know about a race car, I just go, Blake, I'm sorry. I don't know how to tell you to make it better. You know, last week in Vegas, we had speed and the team did an incredible job. Driver sped on pit road twice and put us two laps down, and that's where we finished, right? But that doesn't tell the bigger picture of where we were at. You know, today the team put a great race car on the racetrack, and you know, look, 15 is nothing to hang your hat on for qualifying, but to go out early like we did, to be P1 when we went out, you know, those are big moments for me, because I feel like you're learning, and having some consistency in that car is so important. Again, I started the O'Reilly race and had to throw out everything that I just learned for the last hour and start over, you know, so it is very different. But the racing style, the racecraft, the resiliency of the Cup car is so different that I think it's make the racing fantastic in a totally different way than normal. The O'Reilly series car, I mean, I tested the body out today enough to know that it's actually pretty resilient too. Not in a good way. I got plenty of Darlington stripes, but it's just so cool how different they are, because I do think that while nothing I'm going to learn today is going to help her tomorrow, I do think that it shakes things up, and I think it makes it much more exciting for the fans. And look, I'm a fan of the sport, right? I'm a fan of auto racing in general, but especially NASCAR. So when I'm not racing, I'm watching and I'm learning and I'm growing in it. And that, you know, that's the things that I think have helped me whenever I've been able to go over there and split time.
All right, Trenton, go ahead.
Trent Warsham of frontstretch.com. Justin, I know you've, like you said, you've only been in the Next Gen car for like a week and a half, but just being around, you know, the Hendrick shop and being around guys like Kyle Larson who come down here and wins a lot of laps, but unfortunately for him, pit road happened and you won the race for you. And so with that being said, you know, what kind of information are you taking from him, you know, being at the Hendrick shop and applying it to to O'Reilly's, if anything, and seeing him out there racing like he was today, does that kind of like translate for you any seeing behind the scenes?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, look, you have a guy like Kyle that comes to your organization that runs the O'Reilly series with us. You know, he can bring a lot, right? He brings talent, which obviously is great, but he also brings thought processes, and you know, he's able to pull things out of the race car that maybe myself or one of the other guys that just do this every week aren't thinking of, right? Like, you just pull something different. You attack things differently. You know, when I go to Hendrick Motorsports and I go to their debrief meeting or just at any random moment throughout the shop, and you get to talk to everybody and listen to everybody, and Kyle, Chase, William, you know, even Alex, right? Alex is – I think that's the hardest part about all of this is Alex is still super engaged. He's working his tail off to get back. And, you know, for me, I told him my hope was is that Friday night at midnight they call me and tell me Alex is back in, and I'll go help him unbolt the seat and put it back in for him, right? Because that's what I want to see. Like, that's the goal. So I think that, you know, it's been unique. Nobody wants to see Alex out. Everybody knows the effort that he's put in behind the scenes. So, you know, the shop has been odd, right? It's been odd going to Hendrick Motorsports, knowing you're in this role and in the position that you're in. You know, when I go there, though, and I listen and I watch and I study, look, there is no organization in this sport like Hendrick Motorsports. The way they operate, the people, the knowledge, the efficiency, I mean, they've got it down. And, you know, it's an eye-opener as somebody that obviously has been around the Hendrick organization my whole career, kind of, to really dive in deep and to drive one of the race cars has been pretty incredible. And Blake Harris has been a big part of that, right? That whole 48 team. So, you know, we all know the circumstances are what they are. We're not enjoying that part of it, but you know, hopefully we can build some notes for those guys as they get in later to the season and, you know, get Alex back in that car and be comfortable and go out there and, you know, bust off some good finishes.
All right, we're going to come up front to Mike Kimbry. Go ahead, Mike, right here. Raise your hand so they can see you.
Mike Kimbry, NASCAR.com. Brandon talked about you being able to launch or fire off better. What was that a function of, and not spinning wheels or what there at the end? A
couple things. You know, for me, I got my butt kicked on restarts here early in my career really badly. I mean, to the point where you leave this racetrack and you're like, man, if I could just hit a restart, I might have a shot at running 10th, right? And I've always been frustrated by that, and I spent a lot of time and a lot of work to study restarts here and how to be better, you know, firing off of what lane and how to fire, you know, when to do little things inside the car that you can control that, you know, ultimately put you in a better spot. And, you know, look, Brandon's an insanely good competitor. I got lucky that, you know, he did the same thing twice, and I was able to capitalize on it. The first one, the 17 was behind me, gave me a good shove It might have been the 17 or the 80. I don't know who was behind me on the last one. But when you have those moments, you know, just the little stuff makes all the difference in the world. And so, you know, really proud of our team. But I knew as soon as we were side by side getting into one, that was going to be the difference maker. And you know, I could tell he was struggling on the initial fire off. I actually was surprised that he stayed on the bottom. I kind of thought he would go up a lane at some point. But, you know, ultimately, you know, just be in the right place at the right time. You know, if you're not on the front row, it doesn't matter. I mean, two restarts before that, the 88 chose bottom and gave me the top, and that was the difference maker, right? So, you know, there's all these little details that kind of feed into it, and I'm proud of the race car that we brought because it was kind of the difference maker for us.
All right, we'll go back in the back to Chris.
Hey, Justin. I'm Chris Gallen with Above the Yellow Line Media. So you touched on it a little bit there, but you and Brandon Jones have been racing together for quite a while now.
Long time.
I have the head-to-head stats, and it says that you guys have run 336 races against each other, which is almost the equivalent of 10 full seasons. Just with tonight being the latest in the two battles the two of you guys have had, where does he rank among the competitors that you've gotten to really know and one day remember from your career in the O'Reilly Series?
Look, I've been competitors with Brandon. I've been teammates with Brandon. You know, we've been friends off the racetrack for probably all 330 of those starts, right? He's somebody that I respect a lot. You know, I think he's an insanely good race car driver. And, you know, I think, you know, for me, like, those are the moments that suck in the sport, right? When you beat somebody that you respect, but that's my job, right? My job is to go out there and make the most of it. So, you know, it's hard when you're battling friends. I think that's the one thing. You know, there's some drivers that choose not to have friends in the garage. For me, I'm a people person. I love people, and you know, I love him and Ashley and his whole family. Like, they're great people. His dad, I mean, they're just great people. So, you know, I enjoy racing with Brandon. I know where he and I stand on the racetrack. He's gonna race me as hard as he can, but as clean as he can. And same goes for my end. So, you know, when you have good battles like that, you hope you get the best of it, right? But you know that it's going to go the other way somewhere, and you're going to be okay with that. You know, I'm going to go tell him he did a great job when he does beat me, and right? And I know that he's going to be the first one and the first ones to tell me the same, right? So, you know, having respect and having friends in this garage, that probably means as much or more to me than anything. So, you know, I hope he feels the same way, you know, as I do. But, you know, you find folks that, look, you don't travel 33 weekends a year for us up and down the road every week for the last 10 years together and not have some good relationship, right? So I'm proud of the effort they put in today. They were great on pit road. His pit crew did an awesome job all day, and we just got lucky.
Thanks, Justin. Congrats.
Thank you.
All right, Justin. Congratulations again.
Thank you.
Thanks for spending some time with us. Best of luck tomorrow.
I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.